everybody. This is Jerry. We had to rework chat. I opened it really early, and people couldn't get in, so I had to reopen it, and I realized there was a problem. Rosemary texted me, and we've got it worked out, and I mentioned in chat that I was multi-slacking in the last hour, which is like multitasking, but not doing it very efficiently. And Judy really wanted to host the show tonight because she really wanted to tell you her testimony from her vision yesterday, which is essentially the title of the show, He is Coming. Straight from him, showed her, told her, and that is the message. I still believe that's the case. We will see what he does. I had some things come up unexpectedly. We had unexpected company, and I was participating in cookie dinner and trying to eat it before the show started. And Judy had something come up with her family that she didn't anticipate and left her unable to host and maybe even call in. I'm not really expecting her to call in from what little she told me. She gave me a very quick message. The eve of the 4th of July. It's 3rd of July, the 16th of Tammuz, which I know Pat would like. She hasn't called in yet. Oh, there she is. Just as soon as I said that, she called in. That's perfect timing, Pat. I was saying it was the 16th of Tammuz, which I knew you would like. Let me say hi to everyone. We have Rosemary and Carol in chat. Hi. Hopefully other people, if they were trying, will try again. And Hatana and Alana and Pat on the line. And, you know, I really don't have a download for today. I'm kind of living in it. And actually, earlier this afternoon, I wasn't really that tired, but I just wanted to kind of close my eyes and get away from the computer and lay down. And I just said to God, I said, well, is there anything you want me to do? No, he just said rest. Rest. I'm not that tired, but he said rest anyway. Well, now a couple things have come up, so I guess I'm glad I did, but still, Rosemary says it's slacking the same as detachment. Yes, it's passive detachment. It's not fully detached because you're still sort of acting like you're doing something. And so it's sort of like RC, but so sounds like volume sound. Sorry. So let's see what I can do here. It's just one of those days. It took a long time to get the show scheduled. I finally found out that one of the reasons was that they've added a new required field on the show scheduling thing. They didn't make any note about it, and it's kind of buried at the bottom of the page where I normally scroll past. And so there it is. Is that any better, Carol, the sound volume? So I called Andy here. okay. So anyway, I'm talking even though I don't have anything to say. Sorry. It's a occupational hazard, I guess. I think this is how it's supposed to be. I'm encouraged. Let me bring everybody on the line here. Bring on Tana. Hi, Tana.
Hi, everybody. I love you all. I love you, Jesus. Tana. Praise you, Jesus. I am trying to get on chat. I can't even find chat. I can't find anything to get on chat. I can't find any. Oh, there we go. I found it now. Ha-ha. Love you. Yeah, I'm heading into chat briefly, but I now have to go to work. I've been trying for like 20 minutes to get into chat, find it, and get into it. But
well,
anyway.
I reopened it, and that's when people could start to get in. I opened it over an hour ago, actually, because I knew I was going to have a complication. And I thought I was working ahead, but I guess it didn't help. So, lesson learned. Are you Tana?
Yo. I have to go back to work, but I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Well, let me bring everybody else so everybody can say hi. Here's Alana. Hi, Alana.
Hi,
Alana.
Looks like we have the Flying by the Seat of the Pants show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the all-time record was set when I couldn't open any lines and couldn't play any music, and I had to talk for 2 hours. So
that's a fun one.
I guess it worked out okay.
So, props to you, Jerry, for just doing that.
That's okay. I'm happy to do it.
At
anyway,
least you're a garage kid and you could come up with stuff. I'd be like, yeah, okay. Yeah, the paint is in my left corner of my bedroom.
Yeah, that was subtle panic, basically. Made all that work.
Well, I kind of had that, but you saved the day. And,
Yeah. Well, and of course, I was concerned yesterday. One of the, I made a note, I said something, and I even put it in the chat, but I don't know if anybody saw it. But I was really concerned yesterday when I was having trouble scheduling the show because I was, since something had changed for whatever reason yesterday on the show scheduling page of Blog Talk, I was guessing perhaps that the Blog Talk customer service might not be available on this 3-day weekend. And sure enough, when I called them this afternoon, that was the case. They said I could send them an email for quickest possible service, which I expected to get an answer no sooner than Monday. And but then I went back to the page and realized that there is this tiny, tiny, tiny little red asterisk by this field that hadn't been there before. And so it turned out that it was a required field, which was new. You would think they would make some kind of note or make it a little more obvious, but no, they didn't. So anyway, here we are. Let me bring on Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi, yeah, hi, guys. Love you.
I love you.
Love you too, sweetie. Just numbers and things and whatever.
A lot of things.
Oh no, there was something else that happened. Oh, this is something. I have the TV on. I'm just switching around channels. I don't watch a lot of TV, the news, the weather. If half the world isn't blown up, I shut it off. Okay. So there's a commercial on for saving babies or something, and I guess it was UNICEF or one of these places, or like March of Dimes or something like that. It's focused on babies. So it said she's singing "Sweet Chariot Coming to Take Me Home." Okay, at 12:44. Okay, and it was about saving babies; they don't have to die anymore, or something like that. And it's like, yo. And I clicked it off, and I went back. I said, "Oh my gosh, what's he saying? What's this person singing?" You know, and it's like it was a commercial for one of those charity thingies. But the worst, "Sweet Chariot Coming to Take Me Home," you know, at 12:44. And about saving babies, you know, they don't have to suffer anymore, you know, if you give to this thing or whatever, I don't know. But it was like, whoa, just hit, you know. I'm not even sure I can explain it, but we're talking about a red chariot coming to take us home and, you know, and the babies and things. And it was, and at 12:44, I mean, it was like, suck it to me.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Yeah, wow, it's right. It hit me. It's like... Something hits you silently. You can't really get your head around it, but it just smashes you in the face. It's like, you just said something here at 12:44. It's like, you don't stop, do you? He doesn't stop. Oh, and then my coffee maker has a clock on it, but I don't bother changing it because it's on and off and on and off. So it said the other day, yesterday it said 12:44, while on the TV box, the cable has the right time, it's 11:11. So you had the two at the same time. He doesn't stop. Yeah. And I'm always saying 9:44. 9:44 all the time.
Yeah.
Mostly 9:44 for whatever reason.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like it's so obvious and it's like all right already, all right already. Like come and get us. You know, have it, if it's perpetually 9:44 in heaven, that's fine. I don't care. Just come and get us.
Yeah,
I'm terrible.
I'm all about that. There's no doubt I'm all about that. It's
it's crazy.
Actually, you've inspired me. I have similar sentiments, and I don't play this often for myself, but right now we'll get to the end of that.
Come and get us, Daddy. Long enough. Nothing like a kazoo. When we go up there, he's going to be a rascal and play that song when we go up there. Well, you watch.
I just want to say, it's God's judgment that we should still be here. Okay?
Yes, it is. He has the reason.
We should still be here. So
I know.
I take no responsibility for what I do.
No, can't
I'm
anymore.
I'm
we're
joking,
we've had it. We're totally spaced out. You know, we're done. We're toasted.
Hey,
we don't work well anymore.
you reminded me, Pat, that I mentioned I was laying down for a while this afternoon. I really,
me too.
I was sort of taking a break. I wasn't really going to sleep. I knew I wouldn't. And then
you
were saying just rest. I'm like, really?
Exactly.
So I was just sitting there, closed my eyes. I laid there about as long as I could in one direction. I rolled over. I looked at the clock, and it was 4:44.
Yeah, well, he does this.
And I'm
this
like,
is his game
yeah,
he plays
then
with
I
us.
Realized, but then I realized, because I don't see that every day, then
yeah.
I realized today is the 444th day from my initial attempt to sign in.
See,
that.
He doesn't stop. He doesn't
so,
stop.
So there really
my
was
goodness.
A little more to it, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. Well, I'm
yeah,
hoping.
Right.
I'm hoping. So a little
yeah,
Indiana
it's not the day's not
there.
Over yet.
Indiana Jerry. And we'll see how it goes.
He'll get
on
you
the
a
line
whip and
also.
A big hat.
Yeah. Carol's on the line also.
Hi, Carol.
Deb and Tana are both in chat also. Hi, Deb.
Okay.
Hi, Tana.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, I made it.
Hey.
Cool.
Tana negotiated successfully the Temple of Doom. Way to go. Way to go, Tana.
I'm your assistant. That's good. You know.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, and
oh
you know where
gosh.
You're going because the map's in front of my face, so I have a handicap.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's still things that are being interesting. Let's just leave it at that. But actually, we had a significant moment around here last night and some of the things that we've been engaged with. And it was interpreted by the people who experienced it most directly as a sort of a last chance lashing out attempt to create some turmoil. And it did briefly with a couple of the kids, but they worked through it, and then I found out about it later, and then we took a little farther the possible solutions. Anyway, so they did great overnight, and they did great today, and there's just some things for all of us that we're going to be around until he takes us out of here. And
it looks that way.
That's the understanding. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. I mean, I can tell you how it is here. And I think that's just the understanding. So that's what it seems like.
I just feel to just keep him company and, you know, and I reach my arms out. I just kind of hold him. A lot of times he just puts his head on my shoulder, and it's just very sweet. Yeah. That's for everybody.
Well,
I had a tornado dream the other day. I don't remember all the dream, but we were in this house, my mom, dad, and my little sister and I. And my little sister is 10.5 months younger, by the way, so it's not like she's, you know, some young girl.
Wow.
Yeah. At first I was fighting, there was like demons, invisible demons I was fighting in the corner. Like I was binding and rebuking them. They were like trying to get me and grab me and stuff, but I just kept binding and rebuking them, got rid of them. Jesus always wins. But I noticed that there was like all this wind, like, you know, of a tornado. I could tell, I'm like, and I saw out the window that a twister. So I saw this tornado coming towards the house we were in. So I'm like, everyone duck and cover, like you learn in elementary school, at least in the Midwest, tornado zones, duck and cover. So I was telling my family, we're all ducking, covering. I didn't feel like it was going to be harm the house or us in any way, but it was just a tornado and you're supposed to duck and cover. And so I did, and actually the dream ended before it even hit. But I, you know, I've heard and felt the wind of it. The end.
Wow, okay. That's reminding me of somebody else's dream, but I can't remember whose right now. well, maybe it's our whirlwind. Maybe it's our whirlwind. Get it back.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be ducking and covering for that whirlwind. I'll be standing up, take me.
No, that is true. That is true. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. There were a few notable earthquakes in the last day. There was overnight. There was a 6.4 in China. There was a 6.1 in the Philippines. There also was a near 6 that is now off my thing right for the last day. But it was, I think it was Fiji. And then there's a 5.8 in India. But it's really closer to the Indonesian islands and Malaysia. It's closer to Malaysia than India, really. But the point is, that's all over there in a sort of a near area. These things, and several of these popped off. There were some high fours, too. They popped off in the area where a few days ago we had seen some really deep ones. And they would have projected out to the 6-plus range, and we've seen a little of that here in the last few days. So that's so that pattern is still mostly holding. I guess we should look for something moving up more towards Japan again, so we'll see if that happens. I'm seeing one sort of in that direction. It's kind of deep, Mariana Islands. You know, there's some things in the news. I haven't studied it very much. I don't know how much I really buy into what I see going on out there. It's they're about to. I trust in the Lord, and I have very high hopes for His taking us out of here pretty soon. So. Even today. So I am not going to obsess myself on some of these things that are in the news. I see things in a couple of different ways, but I don't see, I just think God is more compelling than the news right now. Let's just put it that way. That's just my own personal perspective. If you have something you'd like to talk about, that's fine with me too. Carol is on the line. I don't know, I think Tana had to go to work. So,
I will. I haven't yet, but I will have to.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Tana, it was Oh, I see. I see. It was Lana who dropped off.
Okay.
Yeah, not a big garage work day. I think I will be happy to play some music, but I'm also happy to just let anybody else bring up anything they're moved to discuss, because it's one of those days. It's we're kind of going into a long weekend here. Rosemary says a 5-2 earthquake in southern Israel. That I thought that was the other day. Oh, okay, she says it was yesterday, I think. Yeah, that was interesting. Definitely.
But, you know, that it wasn't, to me, I don't think it was reported on the news, was it?
It was lightly reported. It was, the one that I know of was in the Sinai Peninsula, but it shook Israel. It was felt in Israel.
Oh.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the report that made the big news was the false alarm in Washington, D.C., where they thought there was somebody there with a gun or something, but it turned out to be a false alarm. And they've been hyping up, there's been a lot of hype about tight security for tomorrow all over the place. You know, although there is no actual report of a possible attack on one particular area or anything. So, you know, it's fireworks time. We could be going up right around the time people are celebrating. They'll be celebrating our departure,
Well, actually, that fits very closely with, I know, several people's dreams and visions that people have had over the years. It's been a strong leading. It's pretty similar to what Jonathan Fleck has seen. You know, I haven't heard from Jason in a couple of days, but I even think that 4th of July celebration was one possible explanation for one of Kareem's very early dreams, prophetic dreams that she had. So, I'm all for it. I'm on it, all for it, all that good stuff. I think we're, you know, it's kind of hard to explain. I am more than I have, but it seems like it to me. But yeah, I mean, you can see the trends. I do think Dabu has a couple of videos out that kind of go in the
go back outside
direction of encouraging the possibility of some false flags. I think he put up a video from Fox News where his congressman named Peter King was talking about how serious this false flag situation is, and it's not just any other briefing. He says, I've been in the briefings, I've heard the discussion, this is a serious deal, so on and so forth. And he was contradicting somebody else's statement that was trying to play it down as being sort of normal. And so, you know, who to believe, I don't know. But, you know, this particular thing was about a security threat in New York City. Who knows? It's possible. We know that something is rotten in the state of Denmark, as Shakespeare wrote, and we'll have to see. We'll have to see how and when that manifests. I do believe we're out of here before any of those things are going to take place, which is one of the reasons, and I think they're going to do something this weekend. So that's why I really believe we've got to get out of here any minute. I just do. I'm not afraid of it. I don't have any stress about it.
the only stress I have is just dealing with the stuff that's going on,
the change we have
around us every day. And God's in it, though. God has so been in it. So kind of where I'm at. Anybody else have anything they wanted to share?
I've just been rereading Genesis. I don't know if there's, well, everything in the Bible is significant, right? But what I found interesting was that when Ishmael was born, Abram was 86 years old, and it states there specifically, 86. And then he was 99. Abraham, God changed his name to Abraham, and he was 99 when Isaac was born, and that's 13 years apart. And I think the number 13 is always significant. So I'm not sure what the Lord was trying to show me, other than, I don't know, just pay more attention to his word. But he has me reading Genesis again. I know what I discovered, which really, not that, to my knowledge, doesn't really pertain to any end time news, except that the word kings is used. What I discovered was that God really is all-knowing, and he noted it there in Genesis because he told Abraham that his descendants would be kings. But further down the line, when we read in the book of Judges and then First Kings, the Lord did not want the Israelites to have a king. They wanted to have a king because the pagans had a king,
right.
And yet in Genesis, it's recorded that God told Abraham his descendants were going to be kings. So I thought, wow, I had forgotten. Like I said, I'm rereading it, and I remember when I was going through First Kings, that God had told, had warned the Israelites, if you get a king, you're all going to be in lots of trouble, but, you want a king, okay.
Right.
So you'll get a king. So even though they got their king, it was just like God is showing people through whoever reads the Bible that he truly is all knowing, because it's almost like he prophesied or he foretold that there were going to be kings, even though that was not what he wanted, for the Israelites.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I got that. That stuck out to me for whatever reason. And, I thank the Lord very much for, that revelation. And other than that, I've been in a mode of a lot of thanksgiving. Just giving the Lord lots of thanksgiving, being grateful, being thankful. And, he's been answering some personal prayers for my own life. We all have struggles, and my health has been an issue, and so it has, you know, it has slowed me down a little bit, if you will. But I've been asking the Lord to glorify my body, to glorify my body. And I think I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned it in one of the...
I saw you put it in chat.
You know, we're expecting the Lord to glorify our bodies, but that's going to be the very last part of our entire being that is glorified, right? And I, you know, the Holy Spirit, I know, placed it in my spirit to start believing and praying and believing for our glorified bodies. You know, we're always, at least I am, you know, I pay much attention to my spirit and my soul, asking the Lord to sanctify me, purify me, you know, keep me close to Him, keep me, just keep me pure, which is for my soul. Somehow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, reminded me, you know what? That's all good and dandy, but start praying and believing for your glorified body, just as, because the Lord Himself, Jesus Himself, I believe, told the Father, glorify my body as you are glorified, or the Father told the Son, I'm glorifying your body just as I'm glorified. I think, you know, I forget how it goes, but it came to me the last couple of days, and you know, the way we're going to be translated is that every cell of our body, every molecular atom or cell, or, you know, it's all going to change into glorified self. So the old is going to fall off, and the new is, we're going to put on, you know, our immortal bodies. And we do, if we're not praying, King the Lord, and at least this is what the Holy Spirit told me, start praying for your physical body to be glorified, because that's not only how we are totally healed, but that's when we get our glorified bodies, it's how we're going to be translated. And we're all just waiting for our bodies to be glorified, and yet we don't pray, to my knowledge, we don't pray that often for the Lord to glorify our physical bodies. We pray, Lord, heal me, you know, restore my health, you know, and we pray, you know, Lord, you know, deliver me from all evil, set me free from the strongholds, and all these other things, which are all good. But what's going, the very last aspect, as I said, of our mortal bodies, of our entire being, is our mortal body becoming incorruptible and immortal. And so why not pray, Lord, glorify my body? Because once we're totally glorified, we definitely are going to prove that we can't live here. That's why Jesus in the flesh is in the spirit now, because His body has been glorified. When He was when He was on earth, while He was is God, His body, His mortal body, was not glorified until after His resurrection. That's when that's when His body was glorified. That's when, you know, that was the proof. And then He ascended. He was translated after He received His glorified body. And so that is just something the Holy Spirit has impressed on me, and I'm just passing it on to you guys, that it might, not a bad idea, not a bad thing. Hey, you know, let's ask let's ask the Lord to glorify our bodies, and maybe we'll speed up the translation.
And then we come back and help all the other ones left in our glorified
yes.
body. That sounds great.
I'm all for a glorified body now.
Amen. That's great.
So, yeah, there we go.
You go, girl.
Hey, totally
Super.
Different subject, but I've been kind of tracking, I don't know, just sort of because the Declaration of Independence was signed and declared on the 17th of Tammuz in 1776, 4th of July, and that this year is the 17th of Tammuz, 4th of July, 2015. The number of years the nation has been in existence since it was declared. But then I started looking up, well, you know, you can argue that it wasn't really real until the Revolutionary War had been decided, and that was in 1783. So I looked up the ending of the war, and the Treaty of Paris was the treaty that ended the Revolutionary War and also the other European nations that were in conflict because of it. It was signed on September 3rd, 1783, and I'm looking at it right here, and the preamble of the Treaty of Paris, which certified the sovereignty of the United States. By the way, I'm just going to throw this out there because I know that there is a behind the scenes that the Crown has increased its influence within our government. The Lord gave me a word about that. We have seen some indication of that. And furthermore, that was even projected in the Super Bowl halftime show and the Economist cover, the portion that reflected the British invasion and, you know, intimating the music. But listen to these key points of the Treaty of Paris. The preamble declares, and check this out, It declares the treaty to be, quote, in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. Now, I don't know. I suppose that there is an occult version of that. But in plain language, there's no question that that is a reference to the godly Trinity seen in a Christian faith, regardless of what the occult meanings are inferred to be. And it says the signatories and the declares the intention of both parties to, quote, forget all past misunderstandings and differences and secure to both perpetual peace and harmony. Okay, so this is the foundation, the beginning of the relationship between Great Britain and the United States, which our politicians have often referred to as quote unquote special. I will look scan here for another point. Acknowledging the United States to be free, sovereign, and independent states, and that the British Crown and all heirs and successors relinquish claims to the government, property, and territorial rights of the same and every part thereof. Let's see. That one is particularly significant to me because I do believe there's some, we'll call it a fifth column. If you're not familiar with that term, you should look it up. There's a fifth column within the United British government, fifth column within the United States government, which have allied themselves and are behind, among other things, a lot of the drug gangs in Mexico and Central and South America, as well as endeavors like ISIS in the Middle East right now, and the future boogeyman to be blamed for the next false flag within the United States, which they have widely projected. Okay, so the takeaway here I'm going to make is
It says, done at Paris this third day of September in the year of our Lord, 1783. So it states, once again, the Treaty of Paris, which declared the sovereignty of the United States, was in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. And that Trinity is, the identity of that Trinity is validated from a legal point of view by the signing off, where it says, done at Paris this third day of September in the year of our Lord. And the year of our Lord is a clear reference to Jesus Christ. Whether they have another Lord or not is immaterial, because that is the common phrase. And also, once again, I want to clearly state the United States, people of the United States, this government was formed by and for the people, and any other behavior of this government contrary to that is false and illegal. And all heirs and successors relinquish claims, government property, and territory rights the same in every part thereof. This is on the part of Great Britain, the British Crown. So the British Crown has declared it has no right to anything in this nation. And I would like to remind them of that fact. Treaty of Paris has not been annulled. It's still in force. And it was paid for and signed in the name of our Lord. So, a different part of the history of the independence of this nation. There's Alana back. We got her back. Yay. Hi, Alana.
Hey.
So,
watching fireworks
just,
here.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, you just ran into that little thing here about the Treaty of Paris. Interesting side note. We're right in there. One or two minutes to call for anybody who might want to call in. I think we've got most of you online. Deb's in chat. I don't know if she wants to call in. I don't know. I really don't have too much more. I didn't even think I had that. But
I was going to say that in Mama Pat's dream, real quickly before I go to work, I thought that little guy represented in the bolero the Holy Spirit.
Ha! Oh, cool. Because
I was thinking of Zechariah, who was up in the tree.
Yeah.
Kies?
Okay, well, yeah,
I was thinking the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't want you to go behind him, and he's part of the other group. So
he
God
was such
and
a gentleman. He was such a gentleman. He had his head bowed, and he backed up and twice. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to be polite and not go in front of you. I mean, I do have some manners. I was brought up sort of okay. And you go behind a person, you know, out of respect, and he wouldn't let me do it. So I was confused, you know. But I went. I finally just went. Whatever. It was weird.
Well, I think good idea, Tana. I think it's very interesting. I thought of Zacchaeus too, Pat, but I couldn't.
Did you think of him too, the little guy in the tree?
I did, but since he wasn't in a tree, I thought. Well,
I know. He was just standing there, so polite and quiet, listening to the boss man give me this white paper with the dollar bill printed on it, you know. He never said a word, never just backed up, wouldn't let me go behind him, like I said, and he had his head bowed a little bit, and he just confused me, because me, I'm just so down-to-earth and simple, like the doofus one in the crowd, you know, and I treat every, from the Pope to the ditch digger, so to speak, I treat you all the same way. I mean, I just talk to you, and you're all family. I don't care who anybody is. You can be the president or whatever. I'm right in your face, just as I am with you guys, you know, talking. It's like,
right.
I'm not used
right.
to anybody making a fuss. If anybody makes a fuss about me, I want to find the first rock to crawl under, because that just makes me cringe, because I know who I am, simple and little and a nothing soul, you know, and please, just let me be family, let me wear the apron, let me give you your pizza, and everybody be happy, you know, because that's how I am,
right.
you know. I don't like anybody making any kind of anything. It makes me cringe. It just makes me cringe. You know, don't ask me. It just does, because I'm just looking to be part of the family, and everybody love everybody, and let's all get along. I love Rodney King. Why can't we all just get along? You know, I remember what he said when we were arresting him, that poor man. Like, why can't we all just get along? I guess that's my philosophy. Try. Try to be kind to each other, even if you have differences. You know, I had Muslim friends. I had good Jewish friends. I mean, they were so into their religion, but nobody looked at religion. Everybody looked at the friendliness that we had and the sincerity of kindness that was in us. Nobody looked at anything else. Nobody looked at our differences. You know how beautiful that was? I lived on a block where there were like 8 different nationalities, and we all got along just because we wanted to be friends.
Yeah.
Nobody looked at religion. Nobody looked at anything, not color of skin.
It takes somebody.
Yeah.
It takes somebody with an agenda to create division.
Yeah, we all got along beautifully, and it was every nationality on this block, you know, and it was beautiful. My kids had friends who were from every walk of life, and they grew up. They had nobody's prejudice, nobody's nothing. I mean, their best friends were Spanish and black and Muslim and you name it, and everybody was just friends. Everybody was just friends. And it was so perfect. We moved into a Jewish apartment. They were going to Israel, and then the Jewish people were named Ben David, and they wanted us to take their apartment and live in it. So we moved to their apartment while they were away. Yeah, this is when I was in my 40s, 30s.
I love that. You know, Ben David means son of David, right?
I know.
So, Jesus, even then, I was crazy about it. So the Jews have, right now, they have 3 different names for their Messiah because they believe there's more than one. One is son of Jesse, who is David's father. One is son of Joseph. They haven't recognized yet as the father of the husband of Mary.
Yeah.
And the other one is Ben David, son of David.
Yes.
So you just said that when you were young, so son of David. Okay, so that family's name was Ben David, son of David.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You moved into the house of the son of David.
Yes, they wanted us to rent their house where they went to Israel because they were from Israel. They were lovely
people. What I'm saying is it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for moving into the house of God.
That's what I felt too. I said,
Jesus,
wow,
Jesus
I felt honored. I felt honored that they wanted us.
That's huge.
Yeah, I felt very honored that they wanted us. Because I had 4 kids, you know, and it's like they trusted us, and they said, "Would you rent our apartment?" And their apartment was only 2 doors down. I was in a very Jewish neighborhood. Okay, I mean, these are Orthodox Jews. This is funny, guys. There was only one family that lived next to us, and they were Orthodox Jews, and they wouldn't even talk to us because we were the disgusting Christians who ate ham. Okay, so they wouldn't have anything. But the ones next to us. We were Orthodox Jews. We were best friends. I would have Seder with them. They had the sukkah, the little hut. I did missionary work, so I had things, pictures, things of our Lord. He would copy them all for me. He never criticized me because I believed in Jesus. The grandmother had the tattoo on her arm from Auschwitz, and my kids would take the big Bible out and try to convert them. Answer their kids. I mean, stories I could tell you living on this block.
Yeah.
And my kid said to me, Mom, do you remember, and I'm in my 30s now, do you remember talking to the teenagers and preaching about Jesus to them? I says, no, I don't. He said, yeah, you would kill all the teenagers and start preaching about Jesus in this very Jewish neighborhood.
Okay.
And then I move into the house of Ben David. I mean, he's just like, okay, get in here. You're now, because you're gonna get killed otherwise, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because I was very bold
exactly.
even back then in my 30s. I was extremely bold. I didn't care what anybody thought. I preached about the Lord. Yeah. I'm still crazy.
Yeah.
Crazier than ever. Yeah, but that yes, I felt so honored that they wanted us. He and his wife were going back to Israel, and I knew what the name meant.
Wow.
And I felt like, oh, Lord, that's really quite an honor to be moving in the household of Ben David, you know. I knew. And we did. We did. Mm-hmm. Until we moved to Connecticut or New Jersey years ago after that.
Wow.
Jerry's mother had left him an inheritance, so we made a down payment on a house, and we lived there. And ever since, I've been in New Jersey or Connecticut, you know. Yeah, that was a lot. This was in New York, too. This was in Queens, New York.
I just really like the fact that, you know, it's basically when you say you're living in, from a Jewish perspective, especially a rabbinic perspective, when you say you're moving to the house of Ben David, you're saying you're moving into the house of the Messiah.
Very cool. I tease him when I get to heaven. Just don't take anybody. Don't take this the wrong way. This is just me because I'm a jerk. And I said, you know, I'm happy with the lean-to on the beach. You poor man, you're gonna get so sick of me wanting to be down by the beach. And I know I'm the log cabin thing, but I've never seen a mansion or anything. He said, do you want to stay with me? And I said, yeah, I want to live with you. And I know Judy's son, and we're going to get to know each other real well. I want to be with you. I don't want to be alone. I have such a thing about being alone. You have no idea. I think he just pities me. That's what he asked me. But I had never seen like a big mansion or a castle or nothing, you know. And I think you know, between my lean-to and my beautiful log cabin, which I have visions of RCC being there, and you guys are barbecuing and, as I said before, and having a great time, and it's like 17 million bedrooms, everybody's staying overnight because I've had several visions of that, and everybody's having a wonderful time. But it's like I've never seen like a mansion, and I'm shy. I don't ask him. But he said, do you want to stay with me? And I said, yeah, that would be great. I won't be lonely anymore, you know. I think some of us have grown up. I mean, I've had a parent since I'm 10. I've been shoved all over the place. I've moved 19, 20 times. And I was like, there's a real emptiness in me, guys. There really is. And I think he sees that, and he'll address it, you know. And it's not because he loves me more or anything else or whatever. He's addressing the terrible loneliness in me. And how I had a marriage that never worked, and the drinking, and my whole life has been on the cross. You know, I have been tested to the hilt. There are things I have never even told you guys in my life that you would just go, how did you survive? You know, but I think he feels really bad for me that I just have this terrible loneliness and this need to just, don't leave me. And that's why I tease him. I'm going to handcuff you to me. I'll let you loose once in a while to go visit someone. But I tease him like that all the time. And I know it's speaking from the loneliness and the pain within me still. I mean, I always stay positive and everything, guys, you know. But there is still all that inside of me. I know he heals and everything. But my life has been like a roller coaster and a merry-go-round and a tornado all at once. I don't know else to put it. And he knows that. He knows me. And I think others, too, you know, in our group and elsewhere, have the same loneliness and, like, don't leave me. And because sometimes when I'm in spirit, we're holding each other, and I say to him, stay with me. And he says, why do you say that? He says, where am I going to go? Why would I not be with you? I said, I can think of a million reasons why you wouldn't be with me. But I say that to him all the time, and it's that desperateness within me, like, stay with me, don't leave me. He doesn't like me to say that to him, but he understands why I say it, because I'm so used to being left, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so he's very merciful and very kind. And he addresses all the deepest things within us. And believe you me, there's still things in me that probably need healing and whatever.
Oh, we
I
all
say
have.
The deliverance prayers. I don't think you can live here without
that.
Oh, no,
I mean, this is
no,
a broken
no.
world.
There's baggage inside.
It transfers its brokenness to all of us in one way.
Yeah, I'm very broken. I'm a very broken person. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that right now. But I'm a very positive person. Because I have this being in love with it, because he is my Hatan, he's yours too, the husband. I always say, kum means you, kum my hatan, you my husband, all day long. I don't know if I say that. He likes that, I think. Adonai, I address him. I use some Jewish phrases to him. I says, I might as well learn. Jesus.
That's part of, you know, do you see the connection? Do you see the connection why the Holy Spirit probably gave me, you know, the prayer to believe, you know, to pray that we get glorified bodies? Because when we get our glorified bodies, mm-hmm. we will be completely healed.
Thank you.
Emotionally.
Yes, you're right.
Spiritually, emotionally, and of course, you know, the glory in our ourselves. You know, and I have been asking him, you know what, Lord, I want your glory to touch every cell of my mortal body.
Oh, that's nice.
You
that's
know?
Nice.
And so that mm-hmm. and that includes every, you know, every aspect of, you know, my face, to my, you know, mouth, to, you know, the inner parts, my muscles, my organs, my bones, my muscles, my joints, every aspect of our mortal bodies. You know, and if we just pray, glorify my mortal body, then we get complete healing, and we get we have to be translated, because we can't live in our glory. You know, I mean, our glorified bodies will be a testimony, our testimony for the world, but we cannot live in heaven without glorified bodies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess when we're raptured, you know, when the minute we'll be put on white linen and we'll be up there, and we'll be instantly be in our glorified bodies. So he has all that arranged, I guess, and we'll adjust to it beautifully.
Right.
Yeah, and that'll be so wonderful.
Well,
and some
now,
are coming,
you know,
back in the glorified body.
Our mortal body.
Yeah, we won't have that anymore. We'll be completely healed. Everybody.
I really
want
to.
My special needs ones.
Let me offer a different flavor of the same idea here. We God has a purpose for the brokenness that's in our lives, and he has used it. And I think we probably all know that in some form, but I don't know how how well I can address this, but I grew up without a lot of interpersonal support. Basically, with, you know, where there was care, but not so much a truly loving interaction.
Right.
And you know, when you're a kid, you just don't know any differently, and so you don't. I mean, even if it affects you, you don't really miss something that you don't have. As I got older, I matured. I went through some experiences, which I'm sure God was very deeply in.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused me to do a lot of personal reflection. And one of the things that I realized was how big of an empty space there was in me that was a result of that, of a lack of that relational kind of support from my younger days. And I realized that before I had a knowledge of Christ. And it was several years. It was a long process, but I had an expectation when I came to God that emptiness would be, that he would fill that emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, he did not. He did a lot of wonderful things, and he caused me in the end to understand he was with me every step of the way in wonderful ways. He didn't fill that emptiness. He left that emptiness, and which was a kind of brokenness. And I now know he did it for a reason.
Yeah.
He has used that in our experience. It has, you know, if you never have a fault, if you never have a failure,
if you're always great at everything. You never have, you really don't, even if we have great hearts ourselves, without failure and brokenness, we don't really have a way to relate to someone else's broken condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so that empathy comes out of some kind of an experience. I mean,
oh,
you
yeah.
can be kind and good-hearted, but you can't really empathize with someone unless you've experienced
sure.
some brokenness yourself.
Sure.
there's a big
That's true.
There's a big difference, and he. This is one of the reasons we have a heart for other people. But in this context, I just want to say that I know he has used that quite considerable emptiness in my life, and I say quite considerable because really, it's pretty fundamental. And I see now, he really took me through a process where I was caused to see how profoundly that had affected me personally and other things in my life, and. I was mystified for the longest time as to why he would not put something in that vacancy that was in my soul. And I now have what I think is a partial understanding. And I just want to say... the things that are broken in our lives right now, the emptiness in the certain locations that we have on those things, I think are going to filling those things when he takes us will be some of our greatest rewards. And I can't completely understand it, but I really believe that he wants to be the one that gives us our greatest gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
healing.
I still agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
And the filling ends of those vacancies, I really think, are what he wants to do for us, and he wants to do it intimately in a firsthand way. And all the while, just like Romans 8:28 says, he has used those things in our lives, and they're things that we've overcome. And he's been there with us all along. And
oh, yeah.
if any one of those, any aspect of that brokenness or vacancy in our existence was in a place where it would overcome us, he would reach out and touch us. But
mm-hmm.
this is also where the humility comes in, because sometimes, you know, we have to accept where he's got us to go forward in the right direction from there.
Yeah.
So many people are rejecting, you know, in their walk, because they're not connected to God, because they don't really have a faith walk, because in many respects, a lot of people, you know, don't understand humility. And I'm not saying anything, I'm not trying to make a claim for any of us or myself, but
mm-hmm.
but it when we, the manner in which we have applied humility and faith through our brokenness and our vacancies has laid a foundation for him to use us in other ways. And,
mm-hmm. Mhm.
And
mm-hmm.
when we see him, and I think soon,
yeah,
we'll know. Those will be some of the greatest gifts that he has for us.
Yeah,
to fill in
he'll explain everything.
Heal those things.
Yeah,
and heal those things.
That was why I got the job as manager for the Unwed Mothers, because the one knew who hired me what my life was. From a long time, she says, you're perfect for the girls because they are totally broken, totally a mess, and it was true. They could tell me anything, and I didn't flinch. I didn't blink. You couldn't pull the rug out from under me. They could tell me everything, and they would say, can I tell you more? I said, yes, go ahead. I would tell them some things in my life to encourage them, and they just spilled everything out, and they felt so much better. I thank God that I got every one of them to the Lord before the place closed up after 9/11. I thank God for that, and I said, now you can do anything you want in life. You have Jesus in your heart, and no matter what happens, you have him to go to, and this is your greatest gift. You know, so they left with that. So that, I did my job. I did my job. I know I did. You know. Yeah. To get them to the Lord. Yeah. But if I had not gone through all the hell I went through, I would not have had that job. Which led to healing of them, whatever I could do for them, you know. But I had to go through hell in order that I could give to heal somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And God knew that. He knew I could take it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a very simple and little soul. Yeah, and I want to please him. And, boy, sometimes you are nailed on the cross, honey, let me tell you.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think any of us can be,
mm-hmm.
have the common spirit leading the spiritual magnetism that draws us together in our church and family here without having not the
mm-hmm.
same experiences, but I don't,
mm-hmm.
there's something about it. And
I don't think
brokenness we could be here without a certain kind of humility, a certain kind of brokenness. I mean, because
mm-hmm.
quite frankly, you know, the Lord directly calls us to brokenness. I mean, that's part
mm-hmm.
of the walk. It's not taught often or very well.
That's tough.
In the church, but there is a certain kind of brokenness because we are in a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And
yes.
That, by definition, means there's a certain amount of brokenness, and that's what Paul talks so much about, you know, killing the flesh and being alive in the spirit.
Right.
And so that's where it starts. But there's also an extension of that where even in the spirit, we have to accept a certain amount of lack, which the Lord uses as he wishes in our individual lives and wants. So, I think I'm very happy to have had everybody here tonight. Thank you for being here. I wasn't even sure I could be here. And I think another calling calls at the moment, but it's going to be very interesting tonight if we are here tomorrow.
Interesting tomorrow, too.
We'll all together. And it's
blown away.
Certainly. You know, my habit now is every time I hear the national anthem, I pray. That's my habit now. When I see the flag and hear the anthem, I simply pray. I know there's a part of God in this land. There's a part of God in this nation.
Of course.
Part of God in this people. And I don't know.
He knew what this day was.
I don't know how far the decline is going to go. I don't know how bad it's going to be, but we've heard a lot about it. But today, let's rejoice in the walk we've taken and this very special family. He's melded together for us.
Yes.
And the very special things that he has done through us, in which we're very thankful to have been participants. So I think I'm just going to close this out with a little bit of music.
Sure.
I love you all.
Love you all.
And I expect to see you sooner than tomorrow evening. But
later.
If that's not the case, we will
do it
one more time tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You too.
It's been a long road. Getting from there to here, it's been a long time, but my time is finally near, and I can feel the change in the wind right now. door.